NCHC.TV studios. IceTimeHockeyWest.com presents the American Collegiate Hockey Top 20 Podcast, brought to you by Liberty University. Bring your faith and your game to the premier ACHA M1 program on the East Coast. See us at liberty.edu. Indiana Tech University. For ticket and schedule information for the two-time ACHA national champions, go to IndianaTechWarriors.com. Jesse Ray's Barbecue at 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson. For lunch or catering your next office party, we are the best of barbecue Las Vegas style. University of Georgia Hockey, power school athletics tradition, college town atmosphere, and the building of a program like no other at ugahockey.com. College Hockey, Inc., growing the game at the college level and beyond. Adrian College, championship hockey culture and a nationally rated small private school education at adrianbulldogs.com. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos. With Caesars Rewards, members can enjoy rates as low as $10 a room. Maryville University, the big city style of St. Louis with a small school education. For more information, visit us at marylevillesaints.com or at maryville.edu. Jets Pizza. Go to jetspizza.com to find the nearest location to you. University of Mary Hockey, top flight hockey, intense rivalries, and championship aspirations. For schedule and tickets, go to goumary.com. The Caesars Sportsbook app, the only app that lets you earn Caesars rewards, but please play responsibly. FedEx, the official shipping company of Icetime Hockey West. The American Collegiate Hockey Top 20 Podcast is a part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network. Here are your hosts, Scott Strandy and Stephen Marsh.
Well, welcome in, hockey fans, anywhere that you may be joining us on this Tuesday morning, Championship Tuesday, as it is in the ACHA M1 ranks. We have two teams. We started at 24. We dwindled it down to just two teams, and they are ready to play tonight at the Centene Community Ice Center. Scott Strandy with you from Maryland Heights, Missouri today. My co-host is with me somewhere in Las Vegas, Nevada. I don't have him online yet. We will continue to try to pick as we move on. Anyway, Stephen, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. I didn't see you on my board. Okay. So,
no problem.
You are here and present, and have the celebrating stopped in Vegas yet? Because this is a big step.
As you've said, since the Golden Knights won the championship, this is a championship city. Well, maybe a championship city for another reason in about 13, 14 hours from now.
Well, we'll find out. UNLV is certainly playing some really good hockey, and looks like a team on a path for destiny. A path to win a championship, but there is a big obstacle in the way tonight, that being the Adrian Bulldogs.
Yeah, that'll be a big obstacle for sure. UNLV's played very, very well and has played some good teams, but won't get much tougher than Adrian. But it will not be the first time they've played Adrian and have defeated them in the last few years, so...
These teams in the final eight, Stephen, they know each other very, very well. Let me just give you some interesting facts here from game 16 on. Game 16 was the last one in the quote-unquote first round. Ohio beat Oswego State 4-3 in overtime. Then UNLV started the next morning on Sunday, quarterfinal Sunday, defeating Pittsburgh 5-1. Pretty dominating performance, really. And deservingly so. The next three games, though, a UCO 3-1 winner over Purdue Northwest with an empty net. Adrian 4-2 winner over Liberty with an empty net. Ohio beat Minot 2-1 in overtime to create the semifinal matches that we saw yesterday. These two, Adrian 3-1 victory with an empty net, and UNLV a 6-4 victory with an empty net. You get my picture here? All these games are close.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you get to this part of the national tournament, there are not going to be many blowouts, and they're going to be very close games. I mean, every team that's there is very capable of competing and having a chance to win. So it makes for some really good games, which is what you want if you're the ACHA. You want it to be a very competitive tournament, and you want it to be good games. It's, you know, this is the showcase event of the ACHA at the end of the season, and you want it to be competitive and something that people are talking about, which there is. There's a lot of chatter online about it. And yeah, you got two teams left that are very deserving to be where they are.
Exactly. And you and I have talked about this many times. You being a Vegas resident, sometimes it appears that UNLV is kind of the stepchild of the ACHA. They're the ones that, for some reason, just don't get a lot of love. And, you know, I'll say this right now for the ACHA, this men's Division I championship, and not to take away from any other teams that play in it, but this one might be the most beneficial for the ACHA than ever before, because you're bringing in a perennial power and multiple-time champion in Adrian, and you're bringing in the new power, and it's out west in UNLV. So you're spreading the American Collegiate Hockey Top 20 podcast. Is taking you in all different directions. And with the ACHA, you must be happy with that, right?
Well, sure. I mean, look at Arizona State of several years ago when they won it as an ACHA program under now the NCAA program that's run by Greg Powers. I mean, that was a big deal for the ACHA at that time when they won it. You know, they were out west and kind of set the mark. And UNLV has kind of tried to, as well other teams have kind of tried to replicate a little bit of what Arizona State has done, how to build the program and how to try to compete for an ACHA. Obviously, UNLV has aspirations of eventually maybe being an NCAA program. And one of the big steps that, you know, not so much focusing so much on becoming an NCAA program, which is obviously what they want to ultimately do, but to focus on trying to win at the ACHA level and how important that is for the growth of the program and to do that. Now, we're talking about it from an ACHA perspective because obviously if they become NCAA, they leave the ACHA. But for the ACHA perspective, you want competition across the country to say, hey, we're not just a Midwest-based league or a Eastern-based league, but we also can be strong out west too, which makes it a bit more competitive and more of a national brand. That you can have a team that out west can be successful at this league and compete with the powers of the Midwest or the North Dakota area or the East or where you have strong programs already.
Yeah, very true, very true. Okay, let's get into this one. I think you probably have the score sheet in front of you for the Adrian Bulldogs' victory over Ohio. If you want to give us a scoring on it, there wasn't a lot. We didn't think there would be because Ohio is a very defensive team, and they did a great job for about 2.5 periods. And then the proverbial bam finally broke. It's hard to defend for 3 straight games, and that's pretty much what they did.
Boy, Ohio tried to really what's the word I'm looking for? They tried to dirty it up, and what I mean by that is by really limiting Adrian's opportunities and playing that kind of style and getting their sticks.
Can I follow up on that real quick?
Yeah. You're the one that saw it with your own eyes.
The dirtying up, I understand what you're saying, and you're right, but some people think dirtying up means illegal activities.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of hesitant. Banging
the sticks, banging the bodies, whatever. That's not Ohio hockey.
Yeah, it wasn't
Ohio
nothing.
Hockey
it wasn't...
is primarily about getting sticks and lanes. They won almost every puck battle and got to loose pucks, but I don't think I've ever seen a team play like this for 2.5 games where they actually
do it within the realms of what's legal and not crossing the line.
No, and they just got their sticks in the way and made it frustrating and difficult for everybody from their opponents to touch a puck. And if you can't touch a puck, it's hard to sustain any offense. And if you can't sustain offense, you usually can't score. So this game, Steven, broke down to Pretty much odd man rushes. I think the first goal scored by Adrian was a 2-on-0. It pretty much was a turnover at the blue line and they were gone. The second one, I believe, was a 3-on-2. But do you have the scores there? Who got the goals?
Yeah, it was 3-1 score. So Reeve scored for Ohio, 17:35 of the second period. Well, actually, Jammer scored for... Justin Jammer scored first.
He scored off a turnover. It was almost a 2-on-0 or 1-on-0.
Right.
It was pretty clean.
At 12:21 of the first period, and then then the Reeve goal tied it up in late in the second period, and then it stayed that way until very late in the game. We thought, well, maybe this is going to go to overtime, and because Ohio had been playing some overtime, so they would. When you play that kind of style, the way Ohio does, it's very low scoring, and probably a lot of times it is gonna take overtime. You just keep going and then hope that you get some bounces or a breakdown or you capitalize or something. But Adrian is the team that they are. They somehow were able to finally break through with a goal by Toth at 17:07 of the third, and then an empty net goal for good measure at 19:15 of the third to give the 3-1 final. The shots on goal were 39-20. So that was like the night before where Ohio ended up winning. And they had, what did they have? They got outshot 57-31.
Yeah,
beat Minot State 2-1, but not quite that margin. But they weren't the one, and they got outshot 39-20. But basically a 2-1 game. The last goal was an empty net goal, so kind of a similar type game, except they were on the losing end.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I had a chance to visit with Gary Astalas, head coach at Adrian. I got a chance to visit with senior assistant captain Cameron Armstrong and. With the game-winning goal scorer, Cyrus Toth. By the way, Cyrus has the best mustache in all of the ACHA, I think. And we'll get to that in a little bit. Here's Gary.
Is it better than your playoff mustache that you started?
Yeah, not a mustache. Or a beard. Mine is not a mustache. It's just a beard.
Well, it's not much of a beard, right? Yeah, I mean, you've got that handlebar thing going, or whatever you call that thing. Fu Manchu.
Yeah, we're working on it. Okay. Here's Gary Astalas after last night's win. I think you can hear the relief in his voice right here.
Seems like this is a familiar spot that Gary Astalas and I get to a championship game. A few years ago, we talked at Maryville when you guys came away with a championship. This one is, you guys were telling me it's a revenge tour. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I mean, I know some of the guys have been saying that, but... You know, for us, it's at the end of the day, it's a new 28. So this is their story to write. And, you know, I'm really proud of this group and their effort. And we're playing for a lot of people. You know, we're playing for, obviously, for ourselves in these four walls. But we're playing for our alumni. We're playing for our supporters. We're playing for our families. And I'm really happy with our group's effort.
Gary, the talk around the locker rooms and stuff last night was Adrian wants to play the first game. I thought that was a pretty intelligent move on your part because you knew these guys had played a couple of overtime games. You knew you didn't have to sit around and wait if there was an overtime. Was that what was going through your head or what made you decide on 4:45?
Yeah, I think as long as you're not the one seed and you're not playing your first two games at night, you want to be in that 4:45, that first slot, and our kids can get some food in their stomach and hit the ice tubs and start hydrating. So at the end of the day, though, tomorrow, it really doesn't matter. Like 3-4 hours of rest, it really probably means nothing. But maybe from a mental perspective, we'll take it.
Okay, so you play a team like Ohio that's just got stick after stick after stick, and I mean in a good way. They mean they get sticks in passing lanes. They get to loose pucks. Is that frustrating for a really skilled team like you have?
Yeah, I think especially in the second where they won the second 1-0, we did get a lot of shots on goal. I think they limited us to single digits in the second period. And so they're a very, very sound team. They're very structured, and they have a lot of really skilled players. I mean, you look at their lineup, it's loaded with talent. So I think at the end of the day, we're just fortunate we came out on top.
You know, you guys finished your opportunities, I think. You get a good opportunity, like the first one was nearly a breakaway, a 2-on-0 basically, and then a 3-on-2 for the game winner. But is that something you work on, is finishing shots, finishing rushes? making sure it's in the back of the net when you're done?
Yeah, I mean, I wish that we would have finished a little bit more tonight. We probably had close to 40 shots on goal, and kudos to their goalie. He was outstanding, and our kid between the pipes was unbelievable as well. So another goalie duel here tonight, and hopefully can chip in some more tomorrow.
What does it mean for a guy like Cameron Armstrong, an Ohio boy, to come in and get it done? He's been with your program now for a few years. He knows what it's all about. How do you feel for him right now?
Yeah, I mean, he's a heart and soul guy, right? Like, he wears his heart on his sleeve. He's one of our best penalty killers. He has an ultra-high motor. He wears a letter for us. And they're just all around. The Armstrong family's unbelievable. I had his older brother, Zach, when I came in my first year. And he was an unbelievable leader. He was an unbelievable leader and an unbelievable alumni. And now we have Cam, and I think Cam's coming back for a fifth year, so we're going to hopefully give him for another. So, they're just awesome people. They're work ethic people. They're lead by example people. And the more of those guys we can have in our lineup, the better chance we have.
Gary, thanks for your time. Good luck tomorrow night in the championship,
thanks,
okay?
All right, Gary Astalas, any surprises from you, Stephen, comments from Coach Astalas?
He just called you Scott there. He went very formal there.
Well, not everybody gets to call me Scotty.
Well, let's that's true.
Get that right.
I don't even get to call you that.
I think you could hear the relief.
Yes.
That they were done and moving on, because that's what they do.
And we hope to have these videos up on our Instagram in a little bit here. I've been having some issues with them getting sent to me, clear and stuff, but I think I finally got them nice and clear. So I'm going to work on those and get those up, and so people can see. I think you can hear it, but I think you'll be able to visualize too. And I think if you watch the video back, you'll see the relief too, that you just in the facial expressions and everything. So between coaches and the players and stuff. So. To have those up, it's definitely a relief for them to get past Ohio, because they are a tough team.
Let's move on to the guy we were talking about, Cameron Armstrong. We get a little personal. He says I can call him Army. So here we go.
Army, okay.
All right, I got another Adrian Bulldog just off of a hotly contested semifinal game. Cameron Armstrong, tell me a little bit about this. Can I call you Army, by the way?
Yes, you did.
All right. Tell me a little bit about this one tonight and what it means to get to another championship game.
It means a lot. I mean, we worked all year to lose a heartbreaker last year in the finals, and to be in a tight one this game and come back and have the will and know that we're going to come out on top on this one. And it means the world for all the guys in the locker room to really go get this one.
You know, a few years ago, I was here when you guys won a championship over at Maryville during the COVID mess of a year. This one, I think, is going to mean a little more because your teammate just told me it's kind of a revenge tour.
Yeah. Like I said, last 2 years, we came up short. We lost in the semis when we were here 2 years ago to Lindenwood, who was a great team that year. And then last year, Minot, another great team, beat us 1-0 in championship. So to be back here in this position to have an opportunity to give one more ring, it's special.
I know where Adrian is, but not far from Ohio. You're an Ohio kid.
Yes,
what made you decide to become a Bulldog?
Gary's been here the entire time, every step of the way. My brother was an alumni here, and so I knew the program. I knew the winning culture. I knew how hard everyone works in this program, that we'd be able to compete for a championship every single year. And so to be an Ohio kid, to come up here and play for Adrian and then beat Ohio, it's a pretty special feeling.
What were your thoughts knowing that Ohio had played two overtime games and played the late games, and now you were getting them a little early? Did you think it was a matter of time to wear them down?
Yeah, I mean, they played a phenomenal game. They had a lot more energy than I think a lot of us expected, but we came out and we did what we had to do. We just kept coming. And eventually was able to get one to squeak by with a couple minutes left, and I felt good.
You know, you guys are a skilled hockey team offensively, but sometimes you got to win in the dirty areas, don't you?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Th- that what it took this tournament so far is to win Dirty Areas?
Yes, that's what we preach all season long throughout practice, throughout everything we do. Is we're a bunch of skilled guys that work hard, and so when we get out here in these tournaments, it's going to be hard to outwork us.
Army, thanks for your time. Good luck tomorrow, okay?
Thank you very much.
You can hear a little stick clapping going on in the background. these guys from the other teams go through their routine whether we're there or not. So that was a little bit of UCO stick taps in the back.
You ain't getting in the way of their routines.
No, not at all. Not at all. And, kudos to Centene, but there's really not a whole lot of places you can go to do interviews, so you have to duck down the hallway between the two rinks. And you're going to hear in the UNLV interview that somebody scored an overtime goal, an overtime winner on the D3 side during one of the interviews, and it erupts. So, okay, let's jump into the guy that got the eventual game winner, Cyrus Toth.
Hi, welcome into the American Collegiate Hockey Top 20 Podcast. The Top 20 team is now headed to the finals of the ACHA M1 Tournament. Cyrus Toth, you got the game winner. Tell me about it.
Honestly, I couldn't tell you the last time I was in on a 2-on-1, so it honestly shocked me, but it sure felt good. And on our bench, we never had a doubt. We knew we had it with us.
This team that you played beat number one last night. They have great sticks. I mean, they were breaking up everything. You had to know that it was going to take a 2-on-1, a 3-on-2, something like that, right?
Definitely. We knew it wasn't going to be pretty. I mean, you watch the Minot game, it's 1-1 all the way through into OT, so we knew they were sound defensively, and we knew it wasn't going to be a high-scoring game.
Adrian Bulldogs, tell me what that means to come to a championship game again.
It feels good. This is what we like to call a revenge tour, and I'm really happy that our tickets punched back in the finals. We should be coming up real hard.
Now, this season, you had a very tough schedule. You had some ups and downs, but I think it strengthened you. Because when you got here, you guys looked like you were in championship mode.
Definitely. I think, last year that was a criticism for our team, was that we had an easy schedule or that we weren't ready for pressure. And I think this year, those hard games really locked it in and showed us what it really means to battle to the last minute.
Now, I've been to Adrian. I've seen the college. I've seen the number of teams you have playing, but what does it mean to play M1 hockey for Adrian?
It means a lot. You know, I got a lot of pride. All over the campus, you know, we're looked up to, and people really respect us. And I just think it's about putting on a show for our fans and just showing how much we really respect and appreciate what they do for us.
Tell me about playing for Gary Astolas. What does it mean? He demands excellence all the time, doesn't he?
Oh, for sure. Commit to excellence. That's one of our mottos. I think Gary really preaches that. But I wouldn't say that he's a cruel coach or he's a hardo or mean. You know, he really loves the boys, and he just wants what's best for our team, I think.
Okay, so you got a championship game coming up. It's either UNLV or UCO. I'm sure you guys don't care one way or the other, but if things work out the way you want, how much will a championship mean again?
Oh, it's going to mean so much. You know, I think some of the boys were a little, they wanted mine on the final again this year and couldn't get that done, but it doesn't change a single thing. We're going to come out like this is our trophy, and we're going to take it over their heads.
Your style offensively is to run and gun, right, basically, right?
Oh, yeah.
You get the puck, you want to go with it, go to the net.
Yep.
100%. Is it frustrating when you have a team that's got sticks breaking up everything?
Yeah, it was frustrating, and I think that was it was tough for us, you know, on the bench. We like to stay positive and try and, keep everyone into it. And I think it was really crucial for us to keep reminding ourselves that it will come, and even though they're going to break up 50 of the chances, on the 51st, we're going to score.
All right, I got to ask you, that mustache is stylish. Tell me about it. Where did it come from? How long have you had it?
I've been growing it up for a while now. I think this is like one full year, and it doesn't come easy. It takes a lot of time and wax, but it's fun.
Cyrus, thanks for the time. Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
Cyrus Toth. How about that? I'm going a little political on us this morning. Cyrus Toth, what a stylish mustache. I'll put it up on Twitter. I think I already did, but we'll have it up later today too. So, okay, that's the foe for your UNLV Rebels, Stephen. Your thoughts on what it's going to take for the Rebels to beat this squad, the Adrian Bulldogs?
Well, we have enough time. it's going to take. Well, it's going to take a lot of It's going to take a lot of grit to do it. It's going to take a lot of, I guess, what was working with Ohio a little bit, but that's not really UNLV's game. I think UNLV, what they did so well, and we'll get to Central their matchup with Central Oklahoma in a second, was they, and what's been working for them is that they've, what's different from them in the past is they've stayed out of the box for the most part. I mean, they're not doing the extra after the whistle stuff and to do, you know, doing that stuff that was getting them into trouble. I think that's the advantage. I think the speed of UNLV is going to have to be enhanced and or continue to the level that they can do. And I think they're just going to have to outwork Adrian. And I think it's going to take another strong performance by the goaltender, Vinny Benedetto, and it's going to take the leadership of the seniors. They've got 10 seniors on this UNLV team, so there's a lot of senior leadership on that team, as well as their leadership core, and it's going to take the experience that they've been able to gain from deep tournament runs the last few years, 2 years ago getting to the semifinals and losing and being able to beat the team that knocked you out 2 years ago in Central Oklahoma. And then, last year they got knocked out by Liberty in an earlier round. But they have experience. Every year they're in the tournament, they usually can win a game. And with this group now has a chance to accomplish something at this level, and I think those are some of the key factors that you have to do to beat a team like Adrian, who said in that interview there that you played, they feel like they have revenge on their minds, that they feel like they should be the defending champions, and after losing to Minot last year, and they said it's their trophy that somebody's going to take away from them, so they feel like they are going to do, but they shouldn't overlook UNLV, and I don't expect that Gary Astolas will and he'll have his team ready. For sure.
It'll be a good matchup.
And I think it's exactly that. I think the ACHA got a really good scenario. What you want is a very competitive, great championship game to showcase the league, and I think you couldn't have asked for much better than these two teams that are in the championship game.
So you got Midwest, Adrian, West, UNLV. Let's take a quick break. Let's come back and let's break down that UNLV win over their arch rival now, the Central Oklahoma Broncos. We'll be right back.
Championship pedigree, world-class coaching, first-class facilities are all a part of the ACHA experience at Adrian College. The Bulldogs look to raise their third national championship banner in the last 5 years at Harrington Ice Arena, one of the best facilities in all college hockey. Get a big school hockey feel with all of the educational advantages of a private education. More information, go to adrianbulldogs.com or adrian.edu. As a premier ACHA M1 university, UNLV offers a unique chance to play college hockey. Experience a pro setting in Hockey Mad Las Vegas while you earn your degree in any of our over 300 majors in one of the world's destination cities. If this sounds right for you, then visit us at rebelhockey.com to get your future started today. Experience the best of academics and athletics at Minot State University. At Minot State, we're not just a team. We're a family united by passion and determination. Achieve your academic goals while thriving in a supportive community. With a commitment to excellence both on and off the ice, we're shaping leaders. With an 11-to-1 student-faculty ratio, over 1,200 scholarships awarded annually, and in-state tuition for all students. Experience education that goes beyond textbooks, propelling you towards a brighter future. Join Minot State University and be part of a legacy of success. Discover your potential at Minot State. Learn more at minotstateu.edu. Minot State University. Be seen. Be heard. Be you. When you put on that Central Oklahoma Broncos jersey, you represent a championship culture on the ice and in the classroom. Two-time ACHA M1 national champions, four-time WCHL champions, and named a Best in the West college by U.S. News and World Report, UCO hits all of the benchmarks for an elite college hockey experience. Our Edmond, Oklahoma campus, which is just minutes from downtown Oklahoma City, has over 100 areas of study and over 200 student organizations to help you find your fit. Whether it's our stunning 210-acre campus or our NCAA-level hockey environment, go to uco.edu or ucohockey.com and see if Oklahoma's Metropolitan University is for you. Play at the premier ACHA D1 men's program on the East Coast and prepare yourself for life and career at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. Sellout crowds, top competition, and championship aspirations await you on our picturesque campus with state-of-the-art facilities, gifted faculty, and over 700 programs of study to help you make an impact on and off the ice, as well as your community training as a champion for Christ. If your faith in yourself and your beliefs are equally as strong, see if Liberty Hockey and Liberty University is right for you. Visit us at liberty.edu. Looking for the big school college hockey experience in a small school setting? Then Maryville University, located in St. Louis, Missouri, could be for you. Fielding 5 teams across all divisions of the ACHA since 2018 and playing just minutes from campus in the 1,000-plus seat Maryville University Hockey Center, the Saints enjoy a first-class athletic experience as they compete against ACHA powers like Ohio, Liberty, Minot State, and Illinois State. For more information about all things Maryville, visit maryville.edu. Looking to find the right place to fit your academic needs with a chance to play championship-level college hockey? Then Indiana Tech could just be that place. In less than a decade, the Warriors have played for 2 national championships, appeared in the last 4 national tournaments, and won 6 regular season and conference tournaments. Off the ice, majors in not just the tech fields, but communications, criminal justice, and more can get your career off to that same kind of championship start. More information, visit us online at IndianaTechWarriors.com or at IndianaTech.edu.
Welcome back to another segment of ITHSW Podcast's American Collegiate Hockey Top 20 Podcast.
Indeed, it is the American Collegiate Hockey Top 20 Podcast. It's a special edition. We continue on. Tonight is Championship Tuesday. Scott Strandy with you in Maryland Heights, Missouri, not far from the Centene Community Ice Center. My co-host, as always, Stephen Marsh, joining me from that big, beautiful championship city, which he hopes will be another championship at the end of this evening, as the UNLV Skating Rebels will take on the Adrian Bulldogs. You've already mentioned it several times, Stephen. This will be a great matchup, won't it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think it's gonna be a wonderful matchup for the ACHA and for UNLV and for Adrian. I think it's gonna be good for hockey,
and that's what we're trying to do is grow the game.
Yes.
Okay. Here's what I want you to do: break down the scoring. There were 10 goals scored. I told you a couple times during the day. I said if UNLV is gonna win this thing, they might want to score that. Get that 3-goal lead as quickly as possible because they had a bunch of 2-goal leads and ended up being a 2-goal win, but they just didn't back down. Go ahead.
Well, this is an example of, you know, sometimes when you go through a run like this, you need to win different ways in a tournament. You need to win maybe it's going to be a close defensive game, and we've seen games like that. Maybe you need to win the shootout type games. There's going to be a lot of goals, and you're going to have to just outscore your opponent, especially when you got 2 teams that are offensively powered like UNLV and Central Oklahoma. Plus, as you go later in a tournament, maybe the goaltending, you know, you use the same goaltender. Maybe they're a little fatigued. And I'm not saying the goaltender is the one that gives reason they get the goals, but you just everybody starts to get a little bit that way. So maybe things open up a little bit more, and there's more opportunities to score, and there's going to be more goals. So you may need to dig deep and get more offense than UNLV. Although UNLV's been getting a lot of offense. I mean, they had 7 goals in one game, they had 5 in another game. This one they had 6, but they had to hang on because Central Oklahoma, as they do, as you expect they do, they kept coming back. But yes, it's very important. UNLV got off to a 2-0 lead. Bradley Gallant starts the scoring at 9:09 of the first period. So he gets the goal. And I tell you what, I have been all every year that Gallant's been with this team now. He's one of the seniors. He has gotten better and better and better, and that's to say a lot because I saw him his first couple years, and he was pretty good then. But man, he is really, really seasoned and has become what he's become. And he
Steven, have you been able to call him BG though? Because he told me I'd call him BG from now on.
Oh, BG for Bishop Gorman?
No, that would be Bradley Gallant.
Bradley Gallant, because.
BG is all over the ice. His coach calls him a water bug. He's told me that about 15 times. He's a water bug. He's just everywhere.
Very accurate. Very accurate. I would not disagree with the coaches on that. It's very accurate. Yeah.
So Bradley Gallant gets the first goal, but he was the guy that was, to me, he was the motor for UNLV the entire night. He was everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what he does. That's how he plays. He's everywhere. I mean, he'll be at one side. And all of a sudden, if there's a loose puck, he's trying to run it and get to it. I mean, I don't know how the guy has so much energy. I get tired watching
When you see the video, you're going to see what looks like a very small kid on the ice to a very strong looking man. Jason DiMizio and Bradley Gallant came out without their shirts
on. Yeah, what is this without their shirts on? I'm like, do I put these up? These guys don't have their shirts on. I mean,
well, in Vegas, don't they have the Thunder Down Under? Maybe that's what they're auditioning for.
That's their post playing in college life ahead of them, right?
Anyway, it's funny. It's funny. Bradley is just he's just a great kid, a great young man, and doing a wonderful job. But there was another guy. Can I just call him Staff? Because that last name is so hard to say. You know who I'm talking about?
Got 2 goals last night. Sathopoulos.
Yeah. There you go. That's him.
Well, it almost looks like Stephanopoulos, the news anchor from ABC, George Stephanopoulos.
The staff.
Stephanopoulos? Bullis?
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, he's a great player.
How did they say it in Centene?
That's a good question. I was busy.
Well, before we get to his goal, because that was important. So, Max
his
Johnson.
2 goals, by the way.
Yeah, he ends up with 2. Yeah, I mean, he just spoiling the fun here. Max Johnson gets a goal. He's been huge for UNLV during his time. Him and his brother Alec Johnson, who's the captain this year, makes it a 2-0 lead. So they get off to a 2-0 lead, which is really important. You think, okay, they're off to a good start. But then Central Oklahoma comes back and gets a goal late in the first period, and that was huge for them. David Burton. Getting the goal and made it a 2-1 game, and that's good for Central Oklahoma because they get a late goal. They're back within one as you go into the locker room for the intermission. UNLV probably like, I'm sure it didn't faze them, but they're probably like, we had a 2-0 lead, now it's a 2-1 lead, and gave them a little bit of momentum.
You never want to give up
no,
a goal in the final
first
minute.
Final minute or the first minute of a period are really can be momentum shifters and killers too. If you give up a goal in that final minute or the first minute of the game, if you're the team that scores a goal, it could be a real benefit. But yeah, it's so that was kind of a bummer. But UNLV does come out in the second period and they add on to their lead by Stathopoulos getting his second or getting his first of 2, as you said. But he gets it at 7:12 of the
and again that one opens up that 2-goal lead.
Yeah, and he's a freshman, so he's a new. He's a newcomer this year. He's
Montreal, Quebec. I'm hoping to visit with him tonight.
Yes, from it says on the sheet here he's a Calgary. It says Calgary.
Is he really? I thought he played in Montreal.
No,
I think he's from Montreal and played in Calgary. Is that
no? Well, it's, it, the roster sheets that the ACHA puts up before each game. It has his hometown as Calgary, Alberta.
Oh, okay. Thought it was Montreal. Okay. No big deal.
Well, let's see. I think
we'll figure it out.
I think we have somebody from Montreal on the team. We got an Edmonton guy. That's Benedetto. You've got we're getting a little off track here, but that's okay. And then
until we run out of time, then it won't be okay.
There's a Winnipeg, like Nick Doyle's from Winnipeg, but yeah, I don't see anybody from Montreal.
Pick number 41.
What's that?
The good French, a good French Canadian name at number 41.
For UNLV, Michael Petrusoff?
Yeah.
He's from Dana Point, California.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a good French Canadian name. No, close. He's my neighbor then. All
right. Are you close to Dana Point?
Not far. Not far at all. Okay.
Anyway, so
let's get through the scoring so I can play the sound. I've got four really good interviews to play here.
Yeah, so UNLV gets up 3-1, but then Central Oklahoma comes back. Mikhailov, who is obviously used to scoring in these high power situations.
So he does the score games. Goals, sorry.
And so that made it a 2-goal game again. And then UNLV gives up, scores again. So, yeah, every time that UNLV or every time Central Oklahoma got close, UNLV scored a goal. They ended up getting the 3-goal lead, and they made it was 2-goal lead. But then the third period, there was
let's stop right there. Before the third period starts, let me explain to people that maybe weren't there that don't understand what happened. There was about a 20-25 minute delay. I mean, literally right before the teams were going to come on the ice, one of the Centene Community Ice Center workers who was placing the nets in place was going off the ice, slipped, and hit his head. It was a scary moment. There were a lot of people attending to him. They finally had to call for an ambulance to get him off. It was a scary sight. A lot of people thought maybe it was a heart attack at first, but no, he just lost his balance on the ice, went down, hit his head. And I'm glad to say that at least last night, he gave us a thumbs up when they took him off on the stretcher. So he was in good spirits and everything got him off. But my point being is, and this is a tragedy that you never want to see, but this one was it was like a minute before the teams were supposed to come out on the ice. So they have to go back to the locker rooms and sit for another 20 minutes. The ACHA reacted well to it. They gave the teams an extra minute or two to skate and warm up, all of them. So the teams were skating, stretching, circling. So that's how the third period started. I thought both teams were maybe a little on their heels, but maybe UNLV a little bit more. I think that wasn't really what they had counted on starting the third period.
Yeah, those unexpected delays are always kind of can be tough situations about how do you respond to those things. Sometimes a lengthier delay than what you're used to can be. I mean, sometimes we see that in other sports where they're playing there's a longer break than normal in between whether it's a football game, whether it's a halftime or an intermission or something, because it's they're doing special stuff. So it can be kind of tough to kind of, because you're such in a routine. You go in the locker room, you got about 18 minutes, you're about a minute or so going on the ice, and you have to go back into the locker room, and it can be a tough thing. But obviously,
so anyway, the third period starts
Central Oklahoma,
and then
UCO
gets right in there.
Yeah, so we'll get through. Yeah, so yeah, Sykes gets it, makes it really makes it close, but then UNLV is able to respond again. Stathopoulos getting his second of the night, and then Central Oklahoma pulls the goalie. They have a power play. Hogan, not to be confused with John Hogan, the Maryville coach, but Hogan for Maryville. Find his first name here, but
UCO
for UCO. Sorry, yeah. Scores and makes it 5-4, and then they pull the goalie again. But then McCollum seals it with an empty net goal. So 6-4 game for UNLV again. Having to win a different way. It was not a.
You're going to hear this in the interview. I asked Jason DiMizio. He got called for a penalty with 4 minutes to go and put UCO on the power play while they were up, and that's when they scored that power play slash empty or extra attacker
goal. I'm sure he was not feeling good at that moment when he happened.
He's going to tell you how he felt because, in just a minute.
I just know from 2 years ago when he played against Central Oklahoma, got taken out of the game, you know, with an aggressive hit or whatever it was, and he couldn't finish the game that, and then
he'll tell you about that too.
Okay, well, good. Well, anyway. He set it up, and then now 2 years later he comes back and plays one more semester. Last year was technically a senior, but he decided he had another year left. He plays the spring semester, comes and rejoins the team for a semester and had another crack at it. And
I think the big thing, Stephen, was just so people aren't confused on this, it's not like he decided to come back to play hockey. He enrolled in grad school.
Right.
Made the decision to enroll in grad school. So he is an eligible student.
Yes,
and,
he's eligible to play.
And did have time to play because of COVID.
Yes.
And you're right. He's on a bit of a revenge tour himself. And this is a huge night for him. It was a huge night last night as well for Jason. So I had a chance to visit with him. We'll go to that in just a minute. Before we go to that, I want you guys to listen. If you're listening in UNLV or wherever, keep in mind this is their first trip to the championship game. They've been very businesslike all the way up to this point. I'm going to play the last minute of the game so you can hear the team and the crowd. And then I'm going to, and you'll just have to put your blinders on because no, this is raw coming off the ice and their excitement. But I think it's important because this is the first time I've seen them exude a little bit of real emotion because they've been all businesslike for every victory so far. Here we go. Here's the last minute. That was the last minute of play. They really controlled play. It was in their own end, but they kept it along the boards. Vinny Benedetto makes one last final save from guess who? Good old number 12, Sam Sykes, right in front. And UNLV advances to the championship game. Now, this is just a few minutes later when they come down the locker room, and this is the excitement I'm talking about. Again, just understand this is raw, and the sound is, you know, it's excitement and sometimes a little rough. Here we go. Again, raw video, but you can hear the emotion running through those guys as they headed to the locker room. And a couple times you can hear them say, one more, one more. I talked to Nick Carboni right before that, and I said, congratulations, Nick. And he looked at me and said, we're not done yet. I think that was a statement of the night from UNLV. We're not done yet.
Yeah, I mean, if they lose tonight, I mean, they go home empty-handed. They go home empty-handed whether they lost the first round or lose the championship game. Yes, it's nice to get to the championship game, but you don't get recognized as a runner-up. You get recognized as a champion. So ask Central Oklahoma, the runner-up from 2 years ago. Ask Adrian, runner-up from last year. You Yeah. Not the you're not the defending runner ups. You're the defending champions.
Get the ring to prove it. Okay. Here we go. Let's visit in. We got four interviews. First one, Anthony Vigneri Greener. Second one, the goaltender Vinny Benedetto. Third will be Jason DiMizio, and fourth will be Bradley Gallant. Let's hear their thoughts preparing for a national championship and getting to the national championship game.
Hi, welcome back in, American Collegiate Hockey Podcast fans. An ACHA championship game is set. It's Adrian and it's UNLV. How does that sound, Coach Greener? You know, I thought tonight you guys just outskated them. Stop to finish. I mean, I don't know. It was unusual that they were not competitive with you skating-wise, but you just outskated them.
Kind of hard to hear. Anthony, a little soft-spoken, but I think you get the gist of what he's talking about. He's very proud of his players, very proud of the position they're in, and he also realizes they're not done yet.
No, I mean, we see it when you look at a playoff run in the NHL or the AHL, or, you know, you have a certain amount of games that you got to win to get the ultimate goal. And, you know, those are series and stuff, but this is a one-and-done thing. But, going in, they needed four wins to win. Well, they've got three wins, but there's one, and I reached out to them last night after their game and congratulated them. I said, well, the last one is the most important and the hardest one that you're going to win. This is going to be the most important and hardest game that they're going to play all year, and it's for a championship. So that, yes, as great as it's been, they've won three, but they've got one more they've got to get, and that's tonight.
Okay, let's hear from the goaltender, Vinny Benedetto.
All right, the American League Collegiate Hockey Podcast fans. I got the winning goaltender. I got Vinny Benedetto with me. Vinny, I talked to your mom and dad. They were cool, calm, and collected. How about you?
Yeah, same way. It's pretty cool that they're here, and they get to see us do some great stuff out here. And obviously, the job's not finished, and we're going to go get it tomorrow. So it's pretty exciting stuff.
Tell me about this game. You knew that they were coming at you. They came at you once, twice, three times. Once you got that lead, you couldn't really seal it away until the end, could you?
Yeah, they kind of were just throwing everything but the kitchen sink at us, but we found a way, and that's all that matters. So.
Tell me about your journey. You secure the number one spot now. It's been up and down along the way, but now you're the guy. You're the guy, you're the backstop. Yeah. How do you feel?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. We got a special group here, and this has been our goal since day one, and yeah, we got to finish it off tomorrow. So it's been a lot of fun. The boys have been playing unreal in front of me.
Senior leadership has really been the key this year, and a team on the mission. I mean, you guys have unfinished business. Tomorrow will be the opportunity to finish the business. How important is taking back a national championship to Vegas?
Oh, definitely. We got 10-plus seniors here that we're itching for a title here. So, yeah, it's pretty important stuff, so we'll be ready to go.
Talk about your style and how you are able to accomplish what you do in that. Your style.
Yeah, I mean, I just try to stop the puck, honestly. I don't try to get too pretty with it or anything like that, especially games like this. Just stop the puck and do as much as I can for the boys to get that win.
Tell me about St. Louis. How's it been? You guys went to Boston last year. Now you're back here in St. Louis. How does it feel?
It's been good. I like it a lot better here. It's a little less travel, so it's a little closer to Vegas. And, yeah, St. Louis always treats as well, so it's been fun.
And Mom and Dad did make it down. They've had a chance to watch you a lot. Do they get nervous up there? Because they're telling me they don't.
No, they don't. They don't. I mean, that's what they say, but who knows? They're goalie parents for sure, so I'm sure they get a little nervous. But, yeah, it's pretty cool that they're here supporting you along the way.
Manny, congratulations on the win. Good luck tomorrow night.
Thank you very much.
All right, that's the goaltender. Since we're running out of time, I'm going to jump right over and get Jason DiMizio's thoughts, and then we'll finish up with BG.
Again, American Collegiate Hockey Podcast fans, another happy rebel with me. Tell me about this one.
It was grand to the end, just like I knew it would be. but it was fun. We worked hard the whole time. We had our ups and downs like every game, but we fought through it, and it was fun. You know, it's hockey. We fought hard and it came out on top.
This team is different than past UNLV teams. Is it experience? Is it seniors? Is it just the will to get it done?
Maybe some seniors, a lot of heart. A lot of heart and energy. A lot of bonding between the team. It's the energy in there is better than I've ever seen it. And I've been here for 4 or 5 years now. 5 with not including COVID. So the heart and the soul in there and the bonding is the best I've ever seen.
What were you thinking when the penalty called on you 2 minutes ago?
Just crazy. I mean, I stopped moving, so. And then I thought I ruined it. But luckily, the heart on the team saved me, so I'll take it. Yeah, it was a mistake, but we played through it, and my teammates fought for me. So.
Jason, unfinished business coming back. You got the opportunity to play again, and you want this championship probably more than anybody in that locker room, I got a feeling.
I've played here for too long not to have it, so I feel we deserve it, and I know the heart in that room wants it, so I'm not too worried.
Okay, Adrian coming up. You thought about that yet, or are you still thinking about this one?
Still thinking about this one. We'll save it, you know, keep the energy going for tonight, and then worry about them tomorrow. We haven't played them yet, so we're just going to enjoy how hard we played and try to play even harder.
Yeah, I don't think it makes any difference who you play. I think your style is what you guys inflict on teams. Did it again tonight. You just outskated them, didn't you?
As long as we play our game, it doesn't matter who we play. If we start to try to play theirs, we hurt ourselves. So as long as we come just as much hard as this one, I'm not too worried.
St. Louis, what's it been like back here at Centene Center, getting an opportunity to win a national championship right here?
It means a lot to me. Last time I got concussed last game against the same team, and we lost. So to come back, beat them this time in the exact same semifinal means a lot to me. So I'm proud of them. I'm really proud.
Good luck tomorrow night. Get it done, okay?
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
All right, that's
wow, he called your brother there. Wow, that's
yeah. See, these guys are getting together with me here. All right, here's Bradley Gallant.
Gee, I got Bradley Gallant with me. Bradley, my camera lens doesn't ever fool me. So when I'm watching the game and you're in it all the time, I know who's making a difference. Tell me about tonight.
Yeah, I know we came out strong. All 4 lines were buzzing there, and we got the saves when needed, and the boys pulled through that.
Tell me about that first goal and how important that was to get the lead right away.
Yeah, you know, I got the puck in the neutral zone. I brought it up and kind of used the D-man as a screen and ripped it far left.
You faced Doug Wakelin before. You know how good a goaltender he is. Did you think you were going to have to score a few on him, or did you think one or two might do it tonight?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, 2 years ago,
we kind of get the job done, get to win them. So we knew we had to come out tonight, put in a lot of goals on them. So we did just that.
Your coach calls you a water bug. You're all over the ice, affectionately, I think. But your thoughts on that and your style of play?
Yeah, you know, I'm all over. Got a lot of energy. You know, my PK partner, Bootsy. Sometimes we get a little carried away at the points, and our coach gets mad. But you know, we call ourselves the power kill. So.
Tell me about you and the faceoff, Dot. That stick is moving all the time. You're ready for a faceoff at any second, aren't you?
Yeah, you know, I'm twitching a little bit in there. I'm ready for it. I'm trying to get the edge on another guy, so I kind of do whatever I can to win it back with the D-man.
You've been in Vegas for a little while now, UNLV. How important is bringing home a national championship?
You know, I mean a lot, not only the boys, but the whole city. The Knights there now, kind of paving the way for us, and, you know, I mean the world to our team and our fans and everyone.
What's different this year than years past? Is it the senior leadership? Is it just a different focus? Or what's the difference? Because this team looks different.
Yeah, you know, we have a lot of guys.
Somebody scored a goal.
No, we have a lot of guys that have been on the team for a while now, and we are close-knit group. We always hang out, and you know, it's their last chance, and we gotta go on with
you heard the eruption next door. He just kind of chuckled and laughed with me, as we knew that's what happens when you're in a tournament setting. But Bradley Gallant, to me, he was the difference. I know that Staff had a great game as a freshman, but goodness gracious, when Bradley Gallant is on the ice and they have him with Jason DiMizio, and I think Max Johnson, and that line is just, they're just almost unstoppable.
Yeah. I mean, not many to this point have been able to stop that line. They've been, when you look at the who gets goals in their games, and when I've been at UNLV games this year, you just look at who's involved in the games and then the scoring, and a lot of times it's those guys that you've mentioned, especially the second part of the semester when DiMizio has returned and has rejoined the team. So, yeah, I think I was thinking about kind of the journey for UNLV, and it's kind of interesting, and I wish we had more time. We kind of got long on these recaps, but you look at UNLV a couple of years ago when they were in the Final Four and they lost to Central Oklahoma, and while they had aspirations of going further, you know, had they've gotten past Central Oklahoma, there was no going to beat Lindenwood, so they would have been the runners up, and that's an accomplishment for sure. But it would have obviously stung. But I think an understanding that, you know, I kept calling that year basically the Lindenwood send off, because that's basically what it was. It was Lindenwood was going to cruise through the championship, and then they got elevated to NCAA. So. You know, it would have beaten them, but, and they were playing in their home ring, so that you had that going. From this year, it's a little bit of a different feel. Obviously, now it's more of a, you know, there's not one clear team that can that's going to be like dominant. And I mean, there's several teams that have been had really good seasons. A couple of them have gotten knocked out. There's two left now, and UNLV has a real chance now to be in their first championship game to win the championship. And I think that's an important thing. I think what they've learned over the years, the last few years especially, the run they made a couple years ago, and then last year getting knocked out earlier than they would have liked, it's really setting up now for them to be have success and to win the championship. And for Adrian, you know, they look at them, they've won a couple of championships in their history. If you look at the history, they won in 2021. When that was in Maryville, and then look at 2017-18 season, they won back then. So they have a couple of championships in their history. Of
course, and the thing, Steve, let me interject this real quickly because I don't know how much time. But the thing with Adrian is they lost a heartbreaker last year. We saw it on Flow TV, a 2-1 loss to a really good Minot State team. And that's been carrying them around in their locker room and on the ice with them the entire year. So they also are on a mission. And I think tonight, that's what's going to make tonight so special. Both of them partners with us, and one of them is going to come away with the championship trophy, but both of them are champions in my book.
Well, over the history of the ACHA, which has been around for about 30-plus years, and the championships that they've had, you'll become one of... There's 14 teams. 14
teams. I thought I lost you.
No, I was counting, but I didn't want to do the actual counting on the air here. But 14 teams that have won at least one championship. There's been several that have won multiple. Like I said, Adrian has two in their history. Teams that have won one, they'll join Arizona State, Delaware, Davenport, Oakland, Rhode Island, and Iowa State. Talking about UNLV, if they should win, so they'll join elite company if they can get one. They'll be in the club. Pardon the pun there, club, because we're talking about that.
We don't say that word around here.
I know, anyway, it'll be kind of cool to see a team that hasn't won before win it. But you know, Adrian's won two, so if they win, they'll tie Minot State and North Dakota State with three, which would be Penn State's got six, Lindenwood's got four. Ohio's got four, and they were in the mix. They could have been competing to win one and win their fifth, but they didn't. They got knocked out, but yesterday. So we'll either have a champion win for the third time, or a new champion that wins for the very first time.
All right, I mean, it all goes down tonight, my friend. And, yes. It all goes down tonight. Centene Community Ice Center, 8 p.m. Central Time, local time here at Maryland Heights. We'll say goodnight to Roger Klein, the Peacemakers. I'll play it as you read it.
That's the 6 p.m. start here in Las Vegas for those interested. Obviously, a lot of people will be interested. There's been a lot of great support in the community a little bit. There's been, you know, the news has been great. They've been putting little clips about it, and we'll see what happens after tonight. What'll be.
All right. You do the closing read. I'll play a little Hello New Day in the background.
From the NCHC.TV studios, this is the American Collegiate Hockey Top 20 Podcast. Presented by IceTimeHockeyWest.com. Liberty University, bring your faith and your game to the premier ACHA M1 program on the East Coast. See us at liberty.edu. University of Central Oklahoma, first-class experience on and off the ice. For more information, go to uco.edu or ucohockey.com. Jesse Ray's Barbecue, lunch, catering, dining in or out, or just getting our award-winning barbecue sauce. We're at 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson. UNLV Hockey, follow the Skating Rebels Championship Quest. For schedule and ticket information, go to rebelhockey.com. FedEx, ship, manage, track, deliver, the official delivery company of Ice Time Hockey West. Adrian College, championship hockey culture and a nationally rated small private school education at adrianbulldogs.com. Maryville Women's Hockey, go to marylebuildsaints.com for schedule and ticket information. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos, with Caesars Rewards, members can enjoy rates as low as $10 a room. University of Arizona Hockey, visit ArizonaWildcatHockey.org and become part of one of the West's most historic hockey programs. Jets Pizza, lunch, dinner, and catering as well at JetsPizza.com. University of Mary, new league, new level, same goal. Visit us at GoUMary.com. The Tag Creative Group, have us create that one-of-a-kind gift for you or someone special. Go to Redbubble.com and search T. Grand Rudd. Oklahoma University Hockey, the action you crave, only faster at OUHockey.net. The American Collegiate Hockey Top 20 Podcast is a part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network and is live every week on the Podbean app and is available on your favorite podcast platform at ITHSW Podcast, all one word. Again, search ITHSW Podcast, all one word. Subscribe, rate, and review any of our podcasts to help others find the show.
Very well done, my friend. A big thank you to everybody at Adrian, including head coach Gary Astalas, and these players for making themselves so accessible. Same thing at UNLV with Anthony Vigneri-Greener and the team over there also making themselves very, very accessible during this whole trip. We wish them both the very best tonight, and we will have one champion when we talk to you tomorrow morning. Quick shout-out to Anthony Napolitano, the great equipment guy that is always concerned with my well-being at games. And I really enjoyed that. So, Anthony, shout-out to you. I used to call him Nappy. But anyway,
That's what they call him, too. I believe he's known to Nappy, I believe, in the team as well. So.
Big part of what UNLV is doing as well. And same thing at Adrian. They've got great people over there as well. We'll be back tomorrow morning to wrap up a national championship in the 2024 ACHA National Championship. Okay, that's it. See you tonight. best of luck. Enjoy the hockey.